Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage could help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and in this week's episode, we're going to be connecting with Kim while she's on the road as she tours across the country with her husband, John. And then we're going to be discussing an article that was dropped on Psychology Today about apologies, some of the do's and some of the don'ts, and actually gain some perspective on what Kim would actually recommend when needing to apologize. Coming up next on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, John, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, today in Dallas is like an 88 degree day. So, yeah, I'm driving with the windows down.
That'll last a week or so, and then it'll be back up in the 90s.
Yes, no, absolutely. And then we can go back to sweating in our cars.
That's right. We're in.
Yeah. Where are you?
Yeah, we're in Virginia now. We're at Shenandoah National Park in Virginia. I ate my way through Pennsylvania. It's Amish country. I had the best peach pie I've ever had in my life.
Peach pie? Whoa.
It was like eating summer. I mean, I don't know. It was amazing. I ate my way through that state. I'm coming home with more of me. That's for sure. It's not too sweet. It's just fresh peaches and oh my gosh, it's so good.
Wow. Did you have it with ice cream?
Everybody asked me that. It was whipping cream.
Whipping cream?
It was whipped cream. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was so yummy. And buttered noodles. Do you know the Amish make this thing called buttered noodles?
Oh, no. So good. Wow. This was an Amish restaurant?
Yeah, it's in Pennsylvania. It's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania Dutch country. And so all the people in buggies and, you know, learn about the Amish way of life. They're very interesting people. So
yeah,
that was really great.
Man, I wish I knew more because that was a very short chapter in my social studies textbook. in third grade.
Mine too. But they're a branch of the Mennonites. They came from the Mennonites. Mm. And yeah, there's... You know, they're in mostly Ohio, Indiana, and Pennsylvania, and just very family oriented. Not, you know, they don't do electricity.
Basic.
Basic things. Yeah. A little extreme, but yeah.
Well, for today's episode, I wanted to reference an article dropped in Psychology Today about a week ago, and it was talking about ways to do an apology. And I feel like in every relationship, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship or familial relationship, like you need to say sorry.
Yeah, frequently. Frequently. Yeah. And I'm always surprised how many couples I get in therapy where it's really hard for one or both of them to do that. Mm. And they know it's hard for them. They'll come in and they'll be like, yeah, I don't say I'm sorry very well. I'm like, okay.
Oh, so they're aware of it.
Yeah, they usually are.
Huh. Yeah. So what do you think, just to kind of pick your brain a little bit before we talk about the article, like what do you think maybe is the struggle with couples being able to say sorry? Like what's preventing that?
Oh, that's a big question. I think it has a lot to do, you know, with how you're raised and how safe it is to be vulnerable to say, I messed up. So people who have an avoidant attachment style, who are more avoidant, you know, they're not comfortable with feelings. And to be really sorry, you kind of have to have empathy and you have to understand the pain that someone's in to be able to say, I caused that. Right. Mm. And so it's easy to get defensive, and we can talk more about what a bad apology looks like. But couples that struggle with apology struggle in relationships, period.
Hmm.
Because we're two human beings and we're just a constant
right.
stream of, you know, rupture. And if you can't do an apology well, you don't get to good repair. And, you know, some of that's on our partner as well for, I guess, allowing it, allowing a relationship to develop where a good, solid apology isn't required.
Hmm.
We get so uncomfortable with discomfort. You know, we just kind of want to get past it really quickly.
Yes.
And so we tell ourselves it's not that big a deal, or, you know, he didn't mean it, or, yeah, it's just how she is. You know, kind of we give our partner a lot of excuses for it, and then we don't train them how to be relational.
Yeah.
And so where do you learn that? Where do you learn it? Where do you learn how to take accountability?
Right.
For your actions, right?
Yeah, and somebody to stick it out with you, for you to do a trial and error.
You know, RVing, we've talked some about how John and I have, I mean, we've been in some tense situations here. Parking this thing, or we actually dinged it. It was my fault that we dinged it. I wasn't being a very good spotter. And he got into a tree. He got into a tree, and now this RV's got some damage.
Oh, wow. Mind.
Yeah, but we were very frustrated with each other. And so, you know, it was just one of those moments. And I've talked on here with you before about do-overs, having a right. do-over.
Yes.
Right? And a do-over is a great opportunity to learn how to calm yourselves down and have repair. And John and I, it was a long travel day, and we were tired, and I was tired and hungry and frustrated and hot, and this thing wasn't going well, and I was being a real smart aleck. I was being very difficult. I was not being a very good partner, and he dinged the ring, and he popped out of that truck. He was going to come and give me what for. And I was going to meet him head to head and give him what for. And I thought, here we go. This is it. But something just kind of came over me, and I realized this is not the time or the place. Mm. And so I just told him, you know, not right now, just not right now. And we can figure this out later. We can work through this, but right now we got to get this rig in. And he's like, yeah. And so we got it in and had some dinner, and I took a shower, and I felt a little bit better, and I was able to actually calm myself down. But that was a do-over, right? It's not real repair. It was just getting us out of a tense situation when we weren't in the right frame of mind to really have good repair.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I was taking a shower, calm myself down, I was like, how am I going to make repair on this? And my counselor brain doesn't want to kick in when my emotional brain is going, right? And it was my fault. But nobody likes to be blamed for anything either. And so I came out, and he was sitting there, and he's like, you ready to have a talk? I said, yeah, I'm ready to have a talk. And I wasn't a good partner today. I wasn't a good partner today. And I'm sorry. I was surprised at how hard it was to stay, what I call staying clean in that, because I wanted to say it was my fault, but you should have listened to me. It was my fault, but I told you to do so, such, 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 right? And that's not a really good apology.
Mm.
That's not a good, when you come with a but, yeah, that's not a good apology.
Yeah. And that but kind of points back to the fact that one of the main reasons why we don't do well at apologizing is because we don't have any empathy. Like, we don't stop for it. Like, we don't stop to see it through our partner's perspective or the person's perspective.
Yeah. And we also want to share blame.
Right. It's not all my fault.
Right. Right. But I was hungry and really tired, and you pushed too hard, and we drove too long that day, and
yeah,
that doesn't sound very apologetic, does it?
It doesn't. It, in the moment, I would probably say it would sound like someone's trying to make excuses.
Yes.
For the reason why they contributed to the rupture.
Well, yeah. And we want to say, hey, yeah, we did this thing wrong, but we're not bad people.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad person. I'm just, you know, tired and whiny. And I, you know.
Right. Yeah. No one's saying anybody is a bad person. We're just saying, hey, maybe next time you eat, why don't you add an extra patty and cheese?
Yeah.
It will hold you over and pick up some trail mix or something, you know?
And something, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Kim, for answering. Just that one-off question. The article on Psychology Today, you know, one of the things that it mentioned are the do's of an effective apology. And, you know, one of them said, saying, I'm sorry. The second one was showing understanding of your impact to your partner. The third was to offer a plan to move forward. And then the fourth is to actually work towards that plan, like put that plan in action. Whenever we talk about these four things that the article mentioned, like what would you say might be missing?
Sometimes I'll talk to couples who are stuck in a situation where it's not really obvious what the amends would be. And I will ask the person who's been hurt, what would feel good? What would help you move out of this place where you're feeling resentful or you're feeling pain or you're feeling like you got your heart broken? What would help you move out of that place? And oftentimes they don't know, but I'll tell you the one thing that always does help. And that is a partner who has really empathetic and tries to make an effort to understand the impact on that person. So, for example, there's something vastly different between, I said, I'm sorry. I said, I was sorry. What do you want? What do you want from me?
Hmm.
You know, there's that attitude to, I'm sorry. And then right. There's, oh my gosh, I can't believe that I did something that hurt you so profoundly. And I wish I could go back. I would do anything I could to go back and redo that.
Hmm.
And it's a difference in the humility of the person who's giving the apology, the level of defensiveness.
Right? Yeah. I was going to say the first one kind of sounds like someone's playing defense. The second one sounds like they're kind of taking ownership.
It's so hard to do. It's so hard to do. And I think sometimes, you know, we've got a saying in our office. It's on the slideshow. We've got a TV in the waiting room of our office where people come in and they wait for their appointment and different quotes and stuff come up. And it says, an apology without change is just manipulation. And so, yeah, I mean, true apology comes with not just ownership or acknowledgement of a wrong that was done, but also a willingness to do something different moving forward.
Yeah.
Right. So if I come home and I keep coming home late and not telling you that I'm going to be home late, and so I'm putting a burden on you as a spouse who's got kids and trying to get dinner ready, and I'm just, you know, flying by the seat of my pants, and I'm coming home whenever I come home, and I'm just like, what's the big deal? I'm here now, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
I'm not taking ownership for that. And I may be saying I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to do something different that helps in the future.
Yeah.
And so a partner quickly picks up on that.
So I have a question for you. Can someone manipulate something unintentionally? Or is manipulation always having an intention? Because, I mean, I would say that there are some partners that maybe struggle with ADHD or other types of things that they have to like work through their bodies in order to focus, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm wondering, like, is manipulation, is it always, if they don't do any action in the apology, it's manipulation?
Yeah. Married to somebody who's very ADD or ADHD. I get that. That hits really close to home.
Okay.
And that has caused us a lot of issues because my husband can apologize very easily and is really good at it. I mean, he's empathic. He takes ownership of it. There's not a lot of buts, you know, but he will promise to do things differently and better. And with his, and he has every intentions of doing it differently and better, but he also has ADHD. And so,
yeah. But what does he do? I mean, like it sounds like he does take ownership. He does apologize. He does, you know, have the intention of making a step forward, and then it just might not happen sometimes.
Right. Like I said, the ADHD. And so, that can be a real struggle. And so what is the difference? Well, the difference is I know my husband and I know his heart. And so I know that he feels as badly about it when it happens again as I do.
Yeah.
Right. So it's hard to stay mad at him for it, but I can sure get frustrated at times. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You there left the toilet seat up again. No, I don't know. but you know, I remember Sam John had showed us in one of the trainings where the three, I would say, dominant functions in, like in a relationship is love, trust, and forgiveness. And so I think that there's an aspect of grace and forgiveness that's mm-hmm. required in a relationship when people are going through apologies.
If your relationship's in a healthy place and you work really hard to keep it there and communication is good, it's easier to assume your spouse has the best intentions. Hmm. Right. And so if I start assuming that he doesn't, then we're going to have a bigger problem. We're going to have to work through a lot because now I'm feeling manipulated. Now I'm feeling resentful. Now I'm holding on to the grudge of all of this. Yeah, that's a terrible place to be.
You're viewing him through a different lens. Instead of a lens of benefit of the doubt, it's a lens of, oh, he's trying to do this on purpose.
Yes. But, you know, I've worked with a lot of couples, John, where there is a lot of really big manipulation going on, that somebody isn't really that sorry. Mm-hmm. They don't have any intention of changing. They don't want to change. They just want their spouse off their backs.
Yeah.
Right. The apology is to shut someone up or to ease the tension or get them out of the hot seat, so to speak. And so how do you know the difference?
I would probably have to ask the partner who is seeking to do those types of things. Like, what's the goal? Do you want to come close or do you want to be far from your partner?
Yeah.
Because if you want to come close, then there needs to be a sense of attitude shift. And no one can do that except for the person.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I would want to know, too, is, and I've asked my husband this, what have you done to ensure this doesn't happen again? What things have you put in place to make sure that you do remember, or to make sure, you know, to put the toilet seat down, for example? You know, what are you doing to remember?
Yeah.
And if he's like, I don't know, I'm like, okay.
Okay, maybe that's our next step.
Yeah, maybe you're not trying so hard. Yeah.
One of the most helpful articles that I received at the Marriage Place was the 7 R's of repair. So the first one is recognition of how you impacted your partner. And then it says, partner will need to communicate how your wrongdoing impacted them while you were actively listening. That's a solid one, right?
Yeah.
And then it talks about responsibility. So taking accountability. The third is remorse, expressing genuine feelings of how it feels to you to cause that pain to your partner. Number 4 is restitution. So help make actionable steps to minimize pain in the future. The 5th one is reform. So a commitment to change behaviors that are damaging. The 6th one is release, which I think is a genius one here because it says both of you agree to let it go, move on, no longer punish for that wrongdoing. If you can't, you have more repair to do. And then 7 is reconciliation. It says commit to rebuild the relationship. This can also be an actionable step like hug or makeup sex.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But that sounds good. Yes. Love that.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to do was just kind of move forward into talking about some of the don'ts of an effective apology that the article mentioned. So let's talk about this one. Don't apologize just to get an apology back. I mean, what does that come across as?
Well, you know you've got one when you say you're sorry and you wait a while and your partner doesn't say anything back and you get mad. Like, I think we're missing something here.
Right. I'm waiting.
I'm waiting. Don't you have something to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The second one, don't use an apology to shift the blame.
Hmm. You ever seen that done?
I don't think I've seen that one done.
Well, like if I was telling you about my husband and parking the thing yet. Yes, it was my fault, but you shouldn't have X, Y, and Z.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was only my fault. It was only my fault because you didn't do something right.
Okay. Yeah. I've definitely heard that before. The third one is don't apologize for the other person's emotions. Kind of like, I'm sorry you're feeling sad.
Oh, yeah. That's yucky, isn't it?
It is.
I'm sorry you're so oversensitive that you are bothered by this.
Oh, man. That's not going to go well. There's going to be spaghetti on the wall.
On the wall, baby.
And then the fourth one in the article, it says, don't use an apology to provide an excuse. If you just would have, you know, driven the car faster to the restaurant, I wouldn't have yelled at you so hard.
So hard.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of repair on that one.
I know. Aren't relationships fun?
They are. They're very difficult. You know, relationships are hard because people are messy. I think one of the biggest things that we can emphasize is, hey, I'm imperfect, you're imperfect, and we're going to need, if we want this relationship to grow and flourish and have an opportunity, like, we're going to need grace. We're going to need forgiveness. We're going to need things that help us stick it out.
Well, here's the thing too, that's really important about all of that. And as you're talking about that, and I'm thinking about how couples go from being able to do that to holding all the grudges. It's not overnight. It's not overnight that you go from, well, we're both human. We're both messy. I love this person. He's trying his hardest. She's trying her hardest to, oh my gosh, how much longer do I have to put up with this? So what happens between that more loving, kind stage to this other stage? And I think there's a lot of factors that can play into that. But I think the most important thing is unresolved feelings that do not get taken care of or do not get properly repaired. Because you're uncomfortable or you're tired and lazy or you just don't want to deal with it, or it's not that you don't think it's that big a deal and your partner's not telling you that it's a big deal. And so that starts creating, you start poisoning the environment that the relationship no longer thrives in. And you may not notice it right away, but built up over time, it will seriously damage the feelings between the two people in ways that can be very hard to recover from. And so in the beginning of the relationship, you're talking more, you're connecting more. When your partner's off, you know it and you're concerned about it and you want to know what's going on. And then as you get busier with kids and jobs and life and stress and all of that, your partner's off and you're like, they'll get over it. Or if it's that big a deal, they'll come and talk to me about it. We don't put as much care into our partner's well-being anymore. And when that starts to happen, then that's a huge red danger zone.
Yeah. Sam John said this one time. He said, if you are frustrated over something and it's something that you can let it roll off your back and not have any resentment for in the future, okay, do it. But if it's something that you are likely going to be upset about later, then you need to make some repair, because if not, if you don't make your voice known, then you're going to add, and it's adding that poison into the relationship by unspoken feelings and thoughts.
My son knocked my socks off one day. He came into the living room and he said, and I knew we'd had a difficult interaction. It's easy to brush your kids off as too emotional or too whatever or too. And I can't even remember the interaction, but I remember him coming down and sitting down. And he says, we need to talk. And I'm like, okay, what's up? And he said, if we don't get this resolved, I can tell that this is going to be, I'm going to start resenting this. So pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. And I'm like, wow. Okay. Yeah. Right. And I did pay attention and I was able to make repair, but if he hadn't been able to do that, where would that have gone? Where would that have gone in him? And I told him later, I said, that was such a good move on your part, because that was you taking care of our relationship.
Yeah.
See, people, John, that's critical. If nobody gets anything else out of this message tonight, so many people feel like they are preserving the relationship by keeping quiet. Mm. I'm not going to bring it up. I don't want to be a nag. I don't want to be a problem. I'm just going to keep it all. I mean, it's not that big a deal. I'm just going to hold on to that. It takes so much courage to be able to say, hey, this is not sitting right inside. And if the longer I'm going to let this stew, the worse that is for us. So we're going to have to have, I mean, you have to risk that, right? My kid was risking my rejection or my minimizing it or telling him he's being overly sensitive or what. I mean, that was a big risk. But he also prepared me and said, look, this is not, I'm not okay with what's going on inside of me with this. And I need to take care of this with you. Now that is a true mature way to enter into and have a relationship with somebody. So yeah, if you don't hear anything else I say, stop being silent. Stop it. You're not protecting anyone.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Kim, we talked about like one of the biggest things that prevents people from, you know, apologizing and taking ownership is a lack of empathy, you know, and seeing it from our partner's perspective. And then we mm-hmm. also talked about some of the things that we shouldn't be doing in apologies. But yes. Even in this last part, you know, just talking about speaking up for yourself, because whenever you do and you put that into the relationship, it gives you an opportunity to become closer.
Yes. Yes. And be that person in the relationship.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. I'm your co-host, John Bautista, and we will see you guys next week. Peace.